Beloved of God, as we continue on in our service of worship, I invite you to join me in praying our prayer for illumination. Eternal God, pour out your Spirit upon us as we hear these words of Holy Scripture. Help us to see our own stories in the light of Jonah's story, so that we might follow you better. Remind us that each of us has been called, equipped, and empowered to serve you with love and grace. Amen. Our scripture lesson from this morning comes to us from the first chapter of the book of Jonah. Let us hear now the word of the Lord. The Lord's word came to Jonah, Amittai's son. Get up and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their evil has come to my attention. So Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship headed for Tarshish. He paid the fare and went aboard to go with them to Tarshish, away from the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, so that there was a great storm on the sea. The ship looked like it might be broken to pieces. The sailors were terrified, and each one cried out to his God. They hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to make it lighter. Now Jonah had gone down into the hold of the vessel to lie down and was deep in sleep. The ship's officers came to him and said to him, "How could you possibly be sleeping so deeply? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps the God will give some thought to us so that we won't perish." Meanwhile, the sailors said to each other, "Come on, let's cast lots so that we might learn who is to blame for this evil that's happening to us." They cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. So they said to him, "Tell us, since you're the cause of the evil happening to us, what do you do and where are you from? What's your country and what people are you?" He said to them, "I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were terrified and said to him, "What have you done?" The men knew that Jonah was fleeing from the Lord because he had told them. They said to him, "What will we do about you so that the sea will become calm around us?" The sea was continuing to rage. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm around you. I know it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you." The men rowed to reach dry land, but they couldn't manage it because the sea continued to rage against them. So they called on the Lord, saying, "Please, Lord, don't let us perish on account of this man's life, and don't blame us for innocent blood. You are the Lord. Whatever you want, you can do." Then they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased its raging. The men worshipped the Lord with profound reverence. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made solemn promises. Meanwhile, the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Beloved, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. During college, I spent a lot of time with my Chemistry 101 professor. You see, at UNC Chapel Hill, Chemistry 101 is famously one of the most difficult classes offered to first years because it's intended to be a sort of weed-out class for STEM majors. So much of UNC's undergraduate body comes in as pre-med that they need to just go ahead and cull the ranks immediately. And I was determined not to be one of those who got thinned out of the herd. And so I did everything I could to do well in that class. I was in office hours. I was putting in extra time at the lab. I was going to optional tutoring sessions. I probably spent as much time with my professor outside of the class as I spent inside of the class with him. And so by the end of the year, I felt like I knew him so much better than the average student did. And so imagine my surprise when in our final review before the exam, my professor, who up until this point has been a very buttoned-up, straight-laced chemistry professor, bursts into a choreographed breakdance routine as part of a review exercise. Come to find out that after all I thought I knew about him, I had somehow missed the fact that on the side he was a competitive breakdancer. Turns out I only knew one really small part of what made him up as a person. And that isn't altogether all that unusual. I would imagine everyone in this room has at least one story about a time when you thought you knew someone or something really well, only to later discover that we only really knew one very narrow slice of the story. And that tendency to think we know the whole story, when really we just know one part of it, also comes up in the ways we talk about characters in the Bible. And rather particularly, the ways we talk about what I call some of the Hall of Fame characters of the Bible. If you grew up in the church, or if you've spent a lot of time in the church, you might know who I'm talking about when I start naming the Hall of Fame characters. Most of us are probably at least passingly familiar with Daniel and his lion's den, Noah's Ark, Moses parting the Red Sea. Basically, if there's a DreamWorks movie about it, it's in the Hall of Fame. All of these characters, they have these huge defining moments in Scripture. And sometimes those huge defining moments, they can really stick in our imagination and make us think we know some of these characters much better than we actually do. And personally, I don't think there's any character in the Bible that gets this treatment as frequently as Jonah does. Jonah happens to be a fan favorite in the church for exactly one part of his story, which if you've spent any time with VeggieTales, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's the whale. When most of us think of the prophet Jonah, we think about the big fish that swallows Jonah at the end of chapter 1. And it's true, the story of Jonah and the whale is a great story. It can teach us much about our faith. But I have to admit that it's kind of a bummer that the guy whose name is on the book ends up playing second fiddle to a literal whale in his own story. And the reason I feel that way is because Jonah, in my opinion, is one of the most fascinating, interesting, and relatable people we meet in the entirety of the Bible. And so, for the next 4 weeks in worship, we're going to be moving into a new series called Reaching Nineveh, where we're going to walk through all four chapters of Jonah's story to see the full arc of this character that so often gets reduced down to guy who gets eaten by whale and then gets better. I mentioned a second ago that I think Jonah is one of the most relatable characters in the whole Bible, and I really do mean it. And the reason I find Jonah so relatable is that Jonah's a prophet, but he is a deeply flawed prophet. He is not altogether excelling at the job God has given him. Throughout the course of his story, Jonah doesn't get it all right or nail it on the first try. And God, in big ways and in small ways, has to keep working on Jonah over and over and over again across the whole of his story. And so, for all of us who find that sometimes our discipleship is two steps forward, one step back, who earnestly love God but are also human and sometimes mess up, Jonah's story becomes one that we can really easily find parallels to our own with. At the heart of Jonah's story is the idea of calling, the idea that God has created each of us, given us gifts and graces, and that God has somewhere in the world where God wants us to put those gifts and graces to work. But Jonah's story isn't just about calling. It's specifically a story about someone who receives a call from God and starts sprinting as hard and as fast as he can in the opposite direction, because calling can be terrifying. I know this firsthand. When I was moving through the process of becoming a pastor, I joked with every single team that interviewed me that I think Jonah and I would have been the best of friends. I knew I was called to be a pastor starting at around 15 years old, but I'd had echoes that something was going on long before that. I used to have this green spiral-bound notebook that I would keep on my nightstand, and every night I would write questions I had down about the Bible in it. I would write Bible studies for my friends in youth group. By my freshman year of high school, I'd asked to serve on the church council because it bothered me that there weren't any youth in the leadership of the church. And then finally, when I was midway through high school, the proverbial dam broke open, and I realized that that was not, in fact, what other 15-year-old boys were doing with their free time. And I was terrified. No one in my family was a pastor. No one in my family had ever even worked for a church. Even more so, I was worried about what the rest of the world, the people I went to school with, the friends I had out in the world, would think of me walking around and saying the crazy sentence, "I think I'm being called by God to become a pastor," which, if you're not in the church on Sunday mornings, sounds like a deeply weird sentence to say. So I shoved it down and I hid it away, and I made plans to go and study chemistry and biology at UNC Chapel Hill and become a doctor, because hey, doctors also help people, but they make a lot more money and have a lot more control over their life, and that sounds pretty good. It took years of God continuing to work on me, to call me, to nurture me, to heal me, before I was finally able to live into my calling. And truthfully, I've never looked back. And I'd very confidently make the bet that I'm not the only person in this room who has heard God call us towards something, only to be terrified of what living into that call might look like. For some of you, that might be a calling that blankets your whole life, who you are, what you do, how you move through the world. For others, that calling might have been placed upon you for a season, a big move, a risky opportunity, a hard forgiveness, a new relationship, on and on and on. At the end of the day, God is always calling. We just might not always want to go where God is calling us to. And Jonah absolutely, categorically, emphatically did not want to go in the direction God was calling. Jonah's call, to put it lightly, is a rough one. Jonah is called to be a prophet, a proclaimer of God's justice and righteousness. And as if that isn't already a pretty intense job description, God is calling Jonah to be a prophet to the people of Nineveh. Nineveh, the oppressor of Jonah's own people. He was being called by God to go and proclaim God's word to the very group of people who throughout his entire life would have been public enemy number one. And so Jonah enters into what I lovingly call a stubborn off with God. God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah says, I'm going this way. And it can be real easy to shake our heads at Jonah, give him the kind of tisk-tisk. But being really candid, how many of us could confidently say we could live into Jonah's calling? How many of us would be willing to proclaim God's word to the people who hurt us, maybe who hurt us worse than anyone else? How many of us have entered into our own stubborn offs with God, trying to run as far and as fast as we can from the places God is leading us? Jonah runs, and Jonah runs fast, and Jonah runs far until eventually he's on a ship at sea, and it's here that God intervenes again, calling Jonah back, offering another opportunity for Jonah to follow where God is leading. So often I worry that in the church we tend to talk about calling like it's sort of a one-and-done thing. You either get on the bus or you don't, and the opportunity is gone. And I've looked and looked and looked, but I don't see a hint of that in Scripture. We don't follow a God of too little or too late. We follow a God who keeps on calling, who keeps providing the means and the opportunities for us to live into who God has created us to be, even if sometimes that involves God needing to throw a whale in our general direction. God calls Jonah again and again, not just in the first chapter, but throughout the whole book of Jonah. God constantly gives Jonah a chance after chance after chance to live into who God has called him to be. And so our challenge and our invitation becomes to learn from Jonah's mistakes. Jonah ran fast and hard away from what God was calling Jonah to do. And Jonah ran because Jonah was terrified. But what Jonah was forgetting is that the same God who was giving him the call was the God who was going to go with him to Nineveh, who was going to make a way for him and sustain him in the journey. And so for us gathered here, the question becomes, what are we feeling too tempted to run away from? Where is God pointing this way, and we want to say that way? Is there something God is doing in our lives that we need to take on trust? At the end of the story, Jonah ends up on the way to Nineveh. Running away and being afraid, it didn't disqualify him. God could have sent for a new prophet. Instead, God sent a whale to the old prophet. Whatever God is calling you to do, whether today is the first day you felt that call or you've been running for years, there's always the opportunity to turn, to follow, to point our feet in the direction of Nineveh and start walking. No whale required. May it be so. In the name of the God who has called us and who goes with us, the one who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.